Joseph is a familiar person in the Old Testament, one that we're probably all familiar with, one that was, movies have been made, cartoons made. You know, the thing about movies and cartoons, sometimes they take a lot of literary license. You know, they do what they want with the story and stretch it. And so the Bible tells us that Joseph, in chapter 39, verse number 20, Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. I won't ask how many of you have been in prison, but I will ask how many of you want to go to prison. That was an easy answer, wasn't it? Our freedom taken away, we don't want that. Verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph. Isn't it great that no matter where we are, God is there? When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, confessing our sin and asking God's forgiveness through Jesus Christ, that He washes our sins away, and then He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And so we have God's presence in our lives. He's always with us. And Joseph was in prison, but God was there. And showed him mercy, it says in verse 21, and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners. Now here's a guy who's been thrown in prison, and they put him in charge of the prison. Now that's some kind of a person, isn't it? He just rises to the top. I noticed in our church, as people come to faith and start living for God, and it's remarkable to see how quickly in their jobs that they get promoted. You know, they take leadership roles. And what happens is it's changing us. It's changing our composure. It changes the way our outlook, our perspective. It changes our attitude. Guys, if we could have a great attitude, that's something that really outshines everybody else, doesn't it? Because there's so many people out there with stinking thinking. And their minds are just rotten. Their attitude's rotten. It seems like some people just wake up in the morning looking for something to complain about. And then guess what? When they go to work, you know what they're looking for? Something to complain about. And then they go to the restaurant. You know what they're looking for? Yes, you figured it out. Y'all are getting good at this. Right? They fuss at people on the road because they're always looking to complain. They're looking to complain about everything. And guys, what happens is we train ourselves that way. And the more we complain, the more we complain. We got to get that out. We got to chase it out. And I don't want to spend too much time on this, but we call it ants, automatic negative thoughts. And we need an ant eater in our lives, don't we? Get rid of those ants. Clean our brain. Get rid of that attitude and stop being so negative all the time. But Joseph, look, let's go back a bit. Joseph had a bunch of brothers that didn't like him. They considered him to be a mama's boy. He was the favorite. And you know, nobody likes the favorite. Because they're jealous, they're envious of the favorite. And so Joseph, of course, had that dream about them bowing down before him. And, oh, that really made them mad. And they threw him in a pit. And they were going to kill him. Man, you talk about some dysfunction in the family. They were going to kill him. But you know what? They didn't kill him. Instead, they sold him to be a slave. I don't know. I think I'd rather be dead. And so they sold him to be a slave, and then he ends up in Egypt. And what happens? He's a slave, and what happens? He gets promoted to lead Potiphar's house. Isn't that incredible? Just promoted. He ends up in jail, promoted. Everywhere he went, he just woke up in the morning, and he just thought, I'm going to live for God today no matter what. I'm going to be who I am, and I'm not going to let the negative and the ugly infect my soul. Guys, we've got to chase it, because it will get to you. I warn you about listening to too much talk radio. I warn you about watching those 24-hour news stations. I turned to one the other day, and I couldn't believe there was no news on it. No news on it. Just opinion. Just editorial. And anyway, let's move on from that. And it'll just get in your mind, and it'll infect your soul. It'll make you mad. I mean, you'll probably throw something at the TV before it's over if you listen to it long. But it'll make you mad at other people. And I know, do you know why they do that on the radio? Do you know what the goal is? To sell commercials, to sell ads. You know why they do it on TV? To sell ads. It's all about the money. And while there may be some on there that really believe what they're saying and really believe in a cause and really have a mission, most of the time, you can figure out what it's all about. They are catering to their advertisers and those who have the consumers of the things they advertise. Joseph had some troubles in his life, but it didn't waver his faith. He still believed in God. Here he is in the pit, still believed in God. Here he is on the wagon being taken to a foreign land, a foreign country, as a slave. He still has faith. He ends up in Potiphar's house, and there's some things going on he doesn't agree with, and it's starting to creep in on his area of expertise, and yet he still has his faith. He doesn't quit. And then he gets thrown in prison. You know what he does? He just still keeps believing in God. And there'll be people today, maybe some of our friends and family, that will say, how can you believe in God? Look at all the stuff that's happened to you. How can you still have faith? And how can you still have a smile? And how can you still be whistling and humming and singing and happy with all that's happened in your life? Man, don't you see that if there is a God, he's mad at you? And Joseph just kept his faith. He didn't let the naysayers and the critics talk him out of his faith. He kept on believing in God. He ends up in prison. They put him in charge. Incredible man of God. He still had a great attitude, and his behavior led him to leadership, and God took his effort and blessed it. But if Joseph had let his difficulties defeat him, what would have happened? What if it wasn't written this way? The story would have ended in the pit. What if it hadn't happened this way? Maybe the story would have ended on that wagon train. Or maybe it would have ended at Potiphar's house, because he would have given in. He would have said, well, you know, God's not real anyway, and it doesn't matter what I do, so I might as well indulge in this behavior. But he didn't do that. He could have given up when he was cast into prison. Okay, that's it. That's the final straw. I'm done. But he didn't do that. We have got to stop quitting on God. What we do need to quit. We need to quit doing things that upset God. We need to quit investing in things that upset God. Spending our lives on things that don't matter. But Joseph kept the faith. And the Lord, verse 23, says the Lord made it to prosper. We come into chapter 40, which is where you turned, and it came to pass after these things, the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker offended the Lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against his two officers and against the chief butler and the chief bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. The captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. You see that? Leadership, he what? He served. You want to be the best leader at your company? Well, then you better start serving. You want to be the head of your home? Then you got to start serving. You want to make a difference in people's lives? You got to serve them. You got to be of benefit to them. You got to be a blessing to them. And he served. It says he served them. And the two of them, the butler and the baker, same night had a dream. I had a dream the other night myself. Did y'all see that? I got up and I wasn't sure if I was owed an apology or if I owed somebody an apology. Just one of those kind of dreams. I woke up mad. I was mad at the guy in my dream. All I really remember about it is that there were some dead alligators in the water in the river, and I was floating down the river, and then the security guard showed up and told me I had to leave. I don't remember any more about it. But I knew the security guard, and so I was kind of mad at him because he was supposed to be my friend. Anyway, see how crazy dreams can be. I didn't call Joseph and say, hey, what does this mean? I can't think it'd mean anything. But the butler and the baker had a dream. And when Joseph came in the next day, he could tell something was wrong. How many of us care to look at people? That's why coming to church is so important. There are people who are watching online. I'm glad you are. If you can't be here in person, I'm glad you tune in online. But the problem is, if you've got a problem in your life, we can't see your face, so we can't say, hey, what's going on? You could tell something's changed. Something's different. Your countenance is sad. You're not carrying yourself like you used to. Maybe there's a difference in your voice or a difference in your smile or just a difference in the way you walk. And we as family, as friends, can look and say, hey, what's really going on? How many of us this morning got here and gave somebody a handshake or gave them a hug and said, how you doing? Right? Really, how are you? Not just this, oh, I'm fine. No, not that. Don't need that. How are you really? You see, Joseph walked in and saw the butler and the baker, and you know what he said? Guys, something's wrong. I can tell something's wrong. Guys, we ought to be able to see that in our wives. Wives, you ought to be able to see that in your husband. And wives, what's the answer when you ask your husband, is something wrong? What does he always say? Nothing's wrong. Wives, what do you always say when we ask if something's wrong? We don't know because we're not listening. We're kidding. It's a joke, guys, really. But we ought to be able to see when there's a change. Joseph said, what's wrong, guys? They say, well, we're kind of distraught because we both had dreams last night. And we're confused. We're disturbed. We don't really know what they mean. Kind of like mine, right? There's really no way to just say what happened. What it was implying in our lives. It was a dream and it's just disturbing. Joseph says, well, God interprets dreams. Tell me your dream, right? Is that what he says there in verse number 8? And so the butler told his dream. Verse 9. In my dream, a vine was before me. And the vine were three branches. And it was as though it budded. Her blossoms shot forth, the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes, and I pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto him, this is the interpretation of it, the three branches are 3 days. Within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee to thy place. Thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. That's pretty good, isn't it? And the butler's kind of excited. Well, all right, 3 more days. What do you do for if you know you got 3 more days in prison? He was excited to get out. And Joseph lays now another request, doesn't he? Verse 14. Think on me when it shall be well with thee. Show kindness, I pray thee, unto me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and bring me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. Now, we haven't heard Joseph complain, but now Joseph in this moment says, I don't deserve to be here. Is his life pretty good? He's in charge. He has friends. Right? He doesn't miss a meal. He gets to sleep. Right? He's got everything he needs. But he doesn't have that one thing that we all cherish. Freedom. He doesn't have the liberty to do whatever he wants, to go wherever he wants. He's limited to that prison. And so that freedom is what's missing. And so as much as he's enjoying, he gets up every day, he gets up, shows up, and steps up, he does his best, he puts on his best attitude, he doesn't grumble, he doesn't complain, he doesn't gossip, he doesn't lie, cheat, steal, all those things that would hurt his relationships with others, he doesn't do that. He serves. He's a blessing. And God blesses him. And so even in prison, Joseph's doing all right. But there's one problem. He wants to be free. I don't deserve to be here, he says. Verse 16. The baker heard the interpretation of the butler, and he said, Joseph, Joseph, it's my turn, my turn. I want to tell you my dream. He's so excited, right? What could my dream mean? Verse 16, the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good. He said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. And in the uppermost basket, there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh. The birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. Joseph answered and said, this is their interpretation thereof. Three baskets are 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee and hang thee on a tree. And the bird shall eat the flesh from off thee. Ooh. That wasn't what he was expecting, was it? And you know what the next verse says? 3 days later, exactly what Joseph said was going to happen, happened. And the baker dies, and the butler's restored. You know, if we're going to tell the whole story of Joseph, we can get to a happy ending, can't we? But I really don't want to do that this morning. Because God's people need to understand that there are seasons in our lives where things don't go the way we want them to. And that doesn't mean that God has abandoned us. And it doesn't mean that we've done anything wrong. But God can use those obstacles, pitfalls, and even failures to build us up and to make a difference for others. And if we look at Joseph's life, which we're not going to look any more about it, we're done. We'll see that this building of Joseph's character got him to a point where God could use him in a greater way. And I know sometimes the seasons are so hard and last so long and they seem so hopeless and we're so helpless that we say, God, don't prepare me for anything greater. I don't want to be greater. I just want my life back. But see, life happens to us. The baker didn't have a happy ending. That wasn't what we say, well, that was God's will. No, that was Pharaoh. The butler got a happy ending. Except, I want to show you something. In verse number 23, yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. He forgot. Joseph's done everything right, wouldn't you say? He doesn't deserve this. He helps this guy out. He encourages this guy. Gives him 3 days to really hope in this dream, in this interpretation. And then it comes to pass, just as Joseph says, and he forgets to recognize and thank and show appreciation for the one who encouraged him when he was discouraged. Sometimes the Christian life is not very rewarding in that moment. It can be discouraging even for all that we do to help others and nothing in return. But understand something, we don't do it for return. We're living in service to God. And everything that Joseph did, the Bible says God blessed it and poured out his favor on it because God was building Joseph for a great purpose. So when you have a struggle and when you have a hardship and when that season, you say, when is this season going to end? Because I'm tired of being kicked around. I'm ready for some hope and some help and some joy. Just wake up every day and keep believing. Wake up every day and keep doing what God would have you to do. I've had people say to me, Pastor, I don't know what God's will is for my life. Well, let me tell you, first of all, God would have every one of us to be saved. So if you've not accepted Christ as your Savior right now, from your heart to God's heart, call out and say, God, forgive me of my sins. I trust Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I confess my sin before you and ask you to save my soul. God, I give my life to you. Would you pray that if you haven't trusted God yet? And then once you're saved, you know what God's will is? For you to get baptized, to be buried with him in baptism, to be risen to walk in newness of life. That's God's will. No doubt about it. To become part of the church, to become part of God's working organization, to do his work. That's God's will. To read God's word, to study God's word, to pray, to stay in communication with God. That's God's will. We don't have to go looking anywhere and say, well, but God, do you want me to pray today? Yes. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Does God want us to come together with other Christians and worship together and serve together? Yes. The Bible says that. That's not exclusive for one person. Now, does God want you to be a missionary in the Congo? That's something you have to talk to him about. But I can tell you what. Jesus said, go ye into all the world. And let me tell you, this is part of that world. We don't have to go anywhere. We can go right here in our neighborhood, in our community, and preach the gospel. Share the good news. Baptizing those that believe and discipling or teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, teaching the word of God. Well, if God's command to the church is to teach the word, then we need to be students of the word so we can be teachers of the word. And yes, you'll have some hard times and get up every day and do what God would have you to do. Is there anybody in here that would just raise your hand and say, you know, Pastor, I appreciate what you say about seasons of trouble and hard time and obstacles, but you know, my life is great and I don't have any troubles. Anybody? Because we're going to let you talk the next 10 minutes. You see, Christianity doesn't mean we're going to have a perfect life. But we've got to have a heavenly vision and a godly heart and a biblical understanding. We have got to stand out in the world that needs encouragement, in a world that needs direction. Stacy got up here and talked about the lies and the propaganda that's out there because they're glorifying killing babies. That's what our country's come to. It's a battle. Just one battle. There are many on the front. You don't know the most effective way to make a difference. And by the way, she didn't bring you statistics, but the sad thing is the number of people who call themselves Christians and churchgoers who get abortions. But the number one thing we can do is to lead people to Jesus and give them hope and a Savior. And then, if they find themselves in a situation where they are pregnant, and not married, and no support around them, where abortion may be a consideration that the world would, of course, pressure on them, is we as a church have got to step up and say, we still love you. And we've seen that at least three times that I can think of in this church. Not something we planned to do. Not something we really even thought about ahead of time. But we've got to love people even when they find themselves in that situation. And you say, well, Pastor, they didn't find themselves. They put themselves in that. You're right, they did. We've got to love them anyway. Because if we don't love them and support them, then how can we stand there and tell them that life is the right option? We've got to take both sides. We've got to support our argument with our love and with our encouragement. Joseph was a man full of hardship in his life, but he didn't quit believing. He smiled every it doesn't tell us in the Bible he smiled every day, but I can tell you about what happened in his life. He got up with a good attitude. and he hit the ground running, and he didn't hit the snooze two or three times. Anybody want to respond to that one? He got up and got to work. He got up and got after it. And he had a good attitude, and he loved people, he cared about people, and it showed, and God blessed him and gave favor in his life. And we see it paid off. It wasn't a smooth route, but it paid off. Let's stand. Father, as we look at Joseph, we see hardships and discouragement, and really, there were things that happened in his life that would have made us quit, give up, question your will and your purpose in our lives, and maybe we would have said, this can't be God's will. If it was God's will, if God gave me that dream, then why do my brothers hate me? If God gave me that vision, why am I in a pit? If God gave me this direction, then why am I being sold as a slave? If God gave me that direction, then why is this woman pressuring me to do things that are ungodly? If God was really in my life and really in control of my heart, then why am I now cast in prison? God, we are not here to question our faith. We're here to reinforce our faith and say we're going to keep on believing. We're going to remain true and devoted. We're going to stay in the Word. We're going to stay in prayer. We're going to be active in your work, and we're going to share the message with others. We're going to let our attitude be the gospel to those around us. But they're not going to hear us cuss and fuss and complain and commiserate, but they're going to hear us humming and singing and whistling and joyful and happy. God, we surrender our lives to you this morning and say, help us with our attitudes. Help us with our joy. Fill us with your Spirit. Increase our faith, even in those seasons where it seems like we're defeated, that our souls will not be defeated. Guide in this invitation, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This is your opportunity to come. If you want to come to the altar, want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do it. But you can reach heaven where you stand. Won't you pray this morning from your heart to God's heart? Pour out your burden. Pour out your need. Let God encourage you this morning. Let God change your life. Joseph had things to complain about. Just didn't do it. He had reasons to be bitter. He just never let it take root. All right. Anything else before we're dismissed? Glad you're here this morning. Hope you'll be back tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Now, Sunday we had ice cream. Tuesday we had senior lunch. And Friday we had sweetheart banquet. That's it. Y'all going to have to eat on your own this week, okay? But it was a good time, and I enjoyed all the fellowship. Okay, Sunday school quarterlies are up here. If you want to get a Sunday school book, now is your opportunity. Thank you. Anything else? All right, let's go to the Lord and dismiss with prayer. I'm going to ask you if you would look around. Brother Andy, would you dismiss us, please?